Here we go. Hello and welcome to If I Can, You Can, 24 calls to tear down the walls. Thank you for being here tonight with us. My name is Melanie Etherton and I'm standing in for Keith Leon tonight. He'll be back with you next week. And so what are we talking about in the title of the teleseminar when we say tear down the walls? We're talking about the walls that we put up around us that keep us from reaching our fullest potential, from living into our purpose or dealing with the voices in our heads that are telling us things like we're not good enough or we can't do it. Keith and Warren have created this 24-week teleseminar to give you the tools you need to tear down those walls. You'll hear from some of the greatest teachers and mentors in the world, and we know that if you show up and you do the things that you hear in these calls, your life will change. One thing is for certain, you will not be the same person that you were on your first call when you complete the series. So let me just tell you a little bit about the creator of the book, If I Can, You Can, that sparked the idea for this teleseminar series. His name is Warren Hennessing. Warren is a highly regarded personal success mentor and international personal development speaker, and now an international best-selling author. He's appeared on a number of Australian television programs and works with a number of the teachers of the global phenomenon, The Secret. So, Warren, if you're there, welcome to the call. Interesting. I guess Warren's not there. Well, anyway, so my name is Melanie Etherton, and I am co-hosting in place of Keith Leon tonight. My life passion is helping other people. I'm a native of South Dakota, and I've lived in several states, and as well as Gloucester, England. I'm the owner of a website called Pink Parties and Helping Hands, and you can find out a lot about me on my working website, which is manifestwithmelanie.com. My aim is to empower, mentor, nurture, and propel people into becoming the person that they desire to become. So I'm not sure if Warren has made it on the call yet, but I'm just going to keep trudging on. So first of all, it's my pleasure to be here, and on tonight's call, we have Barry Selby. Barry is an inspiration and life coach, facilitator, and speaker. Originally from England, Barry has lived in four countries, although he calls America, and particularly Los Angeles, California, his home. Barry's life purpose is inspiring people to live authentic lives, which he does by facilitating his clients and audiences to embrace and live on purpose, fulfilling their soul's calling and creating and having amazing relationships. He spent the past 25 years immersed in human development, personal growth, and spiritual exploration. As part of his journey, he earned a master's degree in spiritual psychology, and he's also earned a license as a professional spiritual counselor at the Agape International Spiritual Center in Culver City, California. And he's about to complete certification as an NLP practitioner. He believes that the best teachers are the ones who never stop learning. He facilitates individuals and groups in discovering and living their deepest purpose and inspiration. By being true to themselves, his coaching clients live authentically and share their gifts and talents, becoming powerful and contributing individuals on this planet. He has gained an increasing following of his writings on his blog, currently focused on his adventures in house sitting, which is soon to be published in an upcoming book of the same name. You can follow his writings and on his blog at barryselby.com, where you can also join his mailing list and keep up with up to date with his latest offers and services. And you can even join him on his fan page on Facebook. Barry also has a passion for photography, particularly capturing authenticity in people, as can be seen on his photography site, barryselbyphotography.com. So, wow, welcome to the call, Barry.
Thank you, Melanie. A pleasure to be here.
Wait, you've really gone through a lot of stuff here. That's amazing. when you hear that kind of thing about yourself, do you sit back and say, wow, I've done all that?
Well, the recognition for me also is that the journey doesn't end very quickly. There's so much going on, and the fact it keeps going is a good indication that I'm on the right path.
Absolutely, yes. So, speaking of your past, can you tell us a little bit about your history? What led you to be an entrepreneur, and what led you to choose the industry of personal growth?
I would say let me describe it this way. There were two levels. There was what I thought was happening, and then what Spirit was doing behind the scenes. And I kind of use this terminology a lot because, for me, I sort of backed into some of these things without realizing it. You know, if I hadn't had the inspiration to work in America, I wouldn't necessarily have found the path that I'm on now. And the truth is, what I'm doing now was absolutely why I was supposed to be here, but I never had that on my radar until I got to this point. It was kind of like I would see it when I arrived versus planning years ahead to get here. So this journey has been interesting. I started out a long time ago in the computer industry, many years ago. Excuse me. And for me, the journey brought me to the States back in 81, and so it has been home for a long time. And recognizing now, looking back, I had the law of attraction working for me, and I was talking to a friend of mine recently and said that, you know, like the law of gravity, the law of attraction doesn't stop working when we don't think about it. You know, it still keeps working.
Right.
And
absolutely.
I didn't realize that was... And I realize also I keep attracting things without realizing sometimes what I've asked for until much later on. And I know I've been looking for where I was supposed to go, and I've had hints along the way, but in my clumsiness at times, I guess I've ignored some of the very big signs, and sometimes the bigger signs are ones that have to show me what's up. And this house-sitting journey was probably the kickstart for everything that's really come forward in the last year or so.
Right. So can you tell us a little bit about that journey? That to me is just the most amazing thing. Keith was telling me about what you do.
About
the house
sitting.
Yeah.
again, it's nothing I intended to happen, but let's just say I set up my life so that my financial flow didn't line up properly because, again, I wasn't living true to my purpose, and that's one thing I know about now clearly. As I live my truth, then everything else flows. And so because I was trying to make it happen, I did not have the results I wanted. So I ended up creating myself into a place where I couldn't see where I was living anymore. I didn't have a financial flow to take care of that. And I stepped out on faith, and my first writing on my blog was about Leap of Faith, and I've done those things many times. And I stepped out for about a week, 10 days, just to take care of a friend's place for 10 days, thinking that would be a quick hop, skip, and a jump back into some other place. 16 months later, and 41 place I think it is currently, I've been doing this journey totally by faith, and it's been a one step in front of the other type journey. I didn't plan more than a week or two in advance. I had no control over that, and it took me trust, humility, gratitude, all the things I'm writing about. Really, I've known for many years, but these last 16 months and what I've been learning more deeply on a visceral level, I'm now writing about as a direct experience.
My goodness. That just sounds interesting. I can't imagine... living in one house and not knowing, I guess you have to have things set up a couple of weeks in advance, knowing where you're going to be next, right?
Yes and no. I mean, I have everything in storage, so I'm not like I basically put everything in the car.
Right.
But I have some of the house sits that line up literally that night. And sometimes they're a few weeks in advance. Like I've got house sits lined up for December already, but there wasn't one lined up for this week, and then it showed up on Sunday. So it's really... stretch me beyond any comfort zone I had about living accommodations.
Boy, that's something. That's amazing. So I'm just trying to get my head around that. So I'd like to go back to what is your definition of the word success?
Yeah, that was something I'd sit with when I saw the question. But I guess clearly for me, success is somebody who lives authentically to themselves. If they live aligned to who they are, then they're being successful. I'm very clear that success is not a status symbol, and vice versa. Status symbols do not define success because, especially in this current economy we're dealing with, somebody's status symbol of a nice house and a car could be taken away from them with a loss of a job. So that's not success. Success, is, I think, is an inward expression, or I should say an inwardly sourced expression, that by living true to ourselves, we're successful. If we are contributing to the planet, we're being successful in my eyes. I believe we need to make a difference. So success is something much more personal and not so much about status and symbols.
Right. I imagine that that's what you teach your coaching clients. But how do they know what success is to them? How do you lead them to that, or how do they follow you to that?
Well, it's not something I can say, okay, this is the template for that. Really, for me, it's when people find themselves living in their joy and living in their hearts and doing things in the world that they feel are contributing, they'll recognize that. Yes, success does come on the outside side of things where you see results that match or reflect back what we're doing from the inside. But for me, it's very much about being true to ourselves. You know, living in integrity and authenticity is a sense of success. And it isn't. And some people have a hard time wrapping their head around that because it's not the most well understood way of doing it, or the way I don't teach it the same way other people do, maybe.
Well, I think, too, what happens is that we're all brought up in a certain way. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, there's a lot of static on the line. But anyways, I believe it's we're all brought up in a certain way, and for many of us, what's been put into our blueprint is, you know, success equals money or success equals the big house and the big car and things like that. So it's probably hard for a lot of people to live authentically and to see success outside of those sorts of things. There's a saying out there that I just love, what you do on the inside is what happens on the outside.
Yes.
So, you know, whatever you align with on the inside and brings you happy, you know, happiness and joy, it'll show on the outside. It'll definitely show.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. I mean, I was raised in a family where, even though I was raised in what I'll call a working class family, because in England there was more of a class delineation.
Yes.
I learned, but I also learned, and it's funny, I didn't discover this until many years later, that I was raised somehow that I shouldn't exceed my father's success, which was a very interesting paradigm I set up for myself. And when I realized I could blow beyond that, I stepped out of the whole framework because status, I've watched many people, family members, friends, and loved ones, have a level of success that then got taken away for some reason or other. Not necessarily that it was taken from them, but they lost it somehow. And when they're based on success on the outside framework, they have very little consistency in trusting themselves because the self-trust comes from knowing who they are. And if their success is on the outside, gets pulled out from underneath them, like a rug being pulled out from them, they lose that connection.
Well, I suppose with you being raised in England as well, with the class levels that are there, I mean, I lived in Gloucestershire for, about 6 years, and it was definitely a class society.
Yes.
And I could see, I have this thing, I think that people need to be taught that they have the choice to be great, and there were so many people that you could see it in their eyes, they have this greatness about them, but because they weren't of the class, you know, they didn't really feel that they were able to go forward their success or go for their greatness.
Yeah.
So that was something for you to overcome, too.
It's something I'm very aware of in my family, because one part of my family was doing, I'm going to say this, one part of my family, on my father's side, was a little bit more middle class, at least they viewed themselves that way. So I watched the whole hierarchy play out in my family paradigm. And it was challenging at times to relate because they had this thing, well, if you didn't have this, you weren't worth being part of this family. And it was very unsettling.
There's something going on.
Yeah, I gotta. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Somebody else on the call?
Yeah, I think that what I'm going to do is mute out the other line so that we don't hear that.
Okay,
there we go. So I have a big example of this. I also am a mammographer and a radiographer by day, and I had a patient once who came from a very just a little bit at the lower end of the middle class society, and he and his wife had both lost their jobs, and they had four beautiful boys that they loved dearly, and they were trying to raise, you know, on no income, and the man looked beaten down, and you know, he started talking about this invention that he had. And he kept saying to himself, saying out loud, that, you know, if I could just get somebody to buy this invention.
Yeah.
But his answer to that, you know, when I would ask him questions like, well, why don't you research it? Why don't you, you know, find somebody? He would say, well, I'm just a laborer.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would say, you know, everybody I know around me, we're just laborers. I mean, who's going to look at us to give us money? Who's going to look at us to give us funding? And I think that's where you know, a lot of people have blocks because of the class society things. You know, if you're just a laborer, there's no way you can move forward. So
a story we tell ourselves. I still have a recognition now that even with that background, there's no limits because that's, again, self-taught we can change.
Absolutely, yes. Well, I looked at him, and I looked at the X-ray tube that I was about to X-ray him with, and I said, you know what, you have a thought, don't you? And he said, well, yeah. And I said, your thought is that invention, and you made that invention. And I said, look at this X-ray tube. This was once a thought. So if you can think it, you certainly can achieve it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when did you know that you were going to have success? How did you keep going when you didn't know?
That's another one of the interesting questions. I would say that, because I recognize success, again, because success is not a destination, it's part of the journey, and I'm very clear, frankly, and I've heard this, you know, many times, like, you know, stop and smell the roses, and it's not the destination, it's the journey. And I've recognized for me that every time I step closer to doing what I'm meant to be doing, I feel more successful. I've had a period of success in my photography. I love my photography, I'm very passionate about it. But frankly, it's been more of a hobby that pays, not my true calling. And so I felt myself looking for something that was more authentic for me. And the more I work with people and have success where their lives change and improve, I feel I've been successful with them. And it's something that that label was one I'm puzzled by, because for me it's just living truly, living authentically, and being a positive impact on the planet.
Right. One thing that's interesting that I have found with coaching clients and everything, that feeling that you get when you see them turn from that negative attitude to the positive attitude, that's when I get the most feeling of success.
Yes.
That is just an absolutely brilliant, amazing, you know, thing to just see this person, this happen, and then they realize it at the same time. They see what has just happened to themselves, and you can see their shoulders go back and their head go up, and they stand up a little bit straighter, and you know, just say, yes, yes. Very good. So you say that you're an inspirational coach. I like that, because I call myself an inspirational coach too. I don't use the word motivational coach. How do you define inspirational coach differently than a motivational coach?
Well, and this is, again, in my interpretation, because some people may see this differently. For me, motivation is something that either pushes us or is given by someone outside of us. In some ways, it could be a cheerleading type thing, but most of the time it's almost like a football coach would be. It's like very pushing, and it's getting things done, and it's making results and getting something happening. And for me, that's great for getting some outward experience of success, but truly for me, inspiration comes from within. So the more I can encourage somebody's authentic expression, their true essence to come forward, that's inspiring them to live that true to themselves, because I don't know what their life should be like, but I do know they can be more authentic to themselves and each other.
Right.
And that's kind of the goal I have in ultimately. And I've had this vision for a long time that, for me, we'll have more peace on the planet and more harmony on the planet when we live true to ourselves.
Yes, I agree.
And that's what inspiration is about for me.
Yeah, when I'm asked that question about why I say I'm an inspirational coach or an inspirational speaker, I just say, look, I'm here to inspire you to motivate yourself.
Yes,
it's exactly what you said. I don't know what is success for you. I know what success is for me. I don't know what it is for you, but I certainly can inspire you, you know, to get up out of bed with enthusiasm and excitement each morning and go for the gold, you know. So maybe going for the gold is your motivation, but I'm going to inspire you to get there. So tell me, what are some keys you teach and recommend to others?
Well, as you said, you've been browsing on my blog, and I certainly invite people to do that. I've been writing about some of the core things I've discovered for me are true. So being someone who lives inspired and really lives true to ourselves involves being someone who lives in a place of freedom. I talk about flexibility as being a key, and it's one of my teachers is actually powerful about how flexibility is power. And for me, it's very important to have that, because a lot of people who are very rigid in what they believe is right and wrong tend to keep banging their heads against things.
Yeah.
And having flexibility is so freeing, and also allows much more ability to get things done and successful. So I look at flexibility and choice as being key pieces of this journey. And I say I'm writing about these elements. I'm looking probably about 9 core essences from this journey to end up being in the book that I'm writing. And each one of those is a foundational pillar, if you will, of what I call inspirational coaching about.
Right. One thing that you were just saying is that about flexibility and rigidity. What I believe that being rigid is all about is all of those beliefs, I don't want to necessarily say negative beliefs, but all those beliefs that have been ingrained in you since you popped out, since you were born.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that becoming flexible is when you start putting in different filters, when you start changing that blueprint.
Yes,
from what your parents have taught you or society has taught you to what really is, I guess.
Well, I'd say in response to that, because I'm not saying all parents teach us the same thing, because some parents are very inspiring to parents, to be honest. But I also recognize that we have to really, it's like when we take on other people's beliefs and societal rules and peer group information and parents' teachings, et cetera, we create a framework that we step into, which is rigid. If the belief structure is not necessarily a homegrown one, but we believe it's the right way to be, when we can shed that and step free into our own authentic beliefs, because we know what we're about, when we check inside, there's a part of us that's innately wise, and that part can guide us wherever we want to go. When we access that part of ourselves, then anything that doesn't line up with it will fall away. And that gives us freedom and flexibility. Like the chains fall away, in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Now, I have a lot of clients and friends and whatnot that would come to me, and I tell everybody that I know what my purpose is on this earth, and I truly do. How do you define purpose, and what does it mean to you?
Boy. Remember, I had this question up, and I was like, well, how do I answer these? Truly, purpose is something that is unique to everybody, which is why I definitely prefer saying that. For me, it's always been about assisting other people in coaching other people and inspiring other people to live authentically. Now, somebody else's purpose may be to do that through singing, or it might be to, you know, relieve some social condition. So everyone's purpose is different, but what it is, it's an innate drive within us. And if we do any sort of self-development work or look at self-reflection work, we'll find something that resonates when we find the right thing to do. And purpose is something that we know innately what it is, and there are many ways of finding it. I work with some clients on that too, about how do we discover our purpose business and self-reflection processes and other things I can offer them for that. To really know what our purpose is, there's no one way of doing it. I'll say that as well. But there's definitely a resonance when we get there. We know what we're about. And it usually is something very close to our hearts that we already do some way, shape, or form. It may not be like we do for our business, but in our hobby, we do something that is absolutely aligned with our purpose. So to define purpose in languaging, I'm not sure I'll give you an actual breakdown. Purpose means this, that the purpose is really about – sorry, a little interruption there, a second.
No, that's okay.
Purpose is really unique to everybody, and it's about us expressing our truth and being aligned with what we're here for. A lot of times our purpose is why we're on the planet, and we have a reason to contribute, something to contribute to the world, to make a difference, to express, and it's – again, usually something that is outside of ourselves to people around us.
Well, I think that one thing that happens too when you're, we all get to a point where we say, what's my purpose? What am I on this earth for? And I think it's usually when you've gotten to a point in your life where you're just either searching for something else or wondering why you keep doing the same things and getting the same results. And I think I found myself stuck in that phase some time ago, and met up with somebody who was very inspirational to me, and sort of encouraged me, or motivated me, as we should say, to not just define my purpose, but to write a purpose statement. And when I finally wrote my purpose statement, I was just sort of in awe at what I really am. Is that what you feel? Are you in awe when you look at yourself and say, wow, that is my purpose?
At times, yes. More than anything else, it's more like a resonance where I just feel at home when I see it.
Yes.
Like the part of me goes, that's what it's about. It's just almost a relief to go, finally, I can just sit with that and be okay with it. Because for a long time, I had glimpses of it, but I couldn't land on it properly. And I've done various practices with various groups and various trainings and such, and I've realized it's one of the ways to do it most simply is just go away for 2 days into nature, just be on our own, and we'll just sit with why am I here, and asking the question will evoke an answer. I was glad I had another way of doing it done, but the truth is for me that living our purpose, it is in a way coming home to ourselves. So, yes, it's very inspirational, but it's also very, not relieving is the wrong word.
Soothing, almost.
Yeah, because it's going, oh, now I have a reason for being here. That is valuable.
Yes, it's like it's a knowing. It's that sense of knowing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So who inspires you, and why do they inspire you?
well, I can generally say that everybody who's living true to themselves inspires me, which is the truth. But there are some people I look to as being my teachers. As you mentioned in my introduction, that I'm a licensed spiritual counselor at Agape Spiritual Center. And Reverend Michael Beckwith, who's my teacher and a senior minister there, he's one of the people who inspires me most because I see him very regularly. If you've seen The Secret, he was in that movie. He's kind of visible that way. Mm-hmm. And stuff is getting more and more visible on the planet. But he inspires me mainly because he's doing what he's been called to do. He knows what he's here for. And he doesn't have it from a place of ego. You know, he's very much aligned with, I'm here to serve, I'm here to speak, and I'm here to give a gift of love. And on and off the stage, he doesn't change. And that, for me, is very inspiring.
Yes.
I watch other speakers who, they see from the stage where they list an agenda they speak to, and they're really great speaking. When they're on the stage, they're not the same person anymore. And that's not inspiring to me.
That's right. I've seen many speakers who they get up on stage and they say the same thing over and over and over again, and they end up losing their whatever that thing is that makes you believe them at first.
Yes.
Unless you're living on purpose, unless you're actually that authentic that when you get up there you're feeling exactly what you're saying and you're really really want to put yourself out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So now how does the house sitting and your purpose and all that you're doing, how does that sort of mingle together? because I'm reading your blogs and wow.
Well, the thing so I've been writing to be honest with you, what it was is, and I read this recently, I think, I'm trying to remember, I've been writing a few things lately. There's a thing we talk about in spiritual circles called having a dark night of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's also called sometimes a midlife crisis, and all we're labeling it, but it's that sense of not knowing what we're here for. And I've had this journey of unfoldment for, say, 20 plus years, but I get clearly spirit was about to kick me in the pants because I had clearly got a sense of what I was about, but I wasn't living it fully. And I ended up house-sitting because I wasn't living true to myself. And as I've gone through this journey, I've let go of everything that's in the way of that for me. And it wasn't the way I recommend anybody else. But it was my stubborn way of doing it, I guess I'd put it that way.
Right.
And what I've
right.
learned is beyond anything else. And partly I know it's because this journey has given me access to a place of understanding for people who go through their own challenges. There are many people at this time in our culture, because of what's happening in the economy, where people have either lost their jobs or in fear of losing their jobs, and there's that stress factor. And having been through that myself, I now can stand in a place of authenticity and support for those people who may be going through that experience.
Right. I think, too, that as far as the economy goes, we make our economy the way it is. And
right.
we do that by all these beliefs that we have in our head about, we need to stop spending and save our money and all that good stuff. But when we do that, we cause the economy to get worse. So then our, this little wall sort of builds up around us. And it's like a domino effect. So I think it's great, really great. I'm trying to find the blog I read just a minute ago before we came on, where you said you actually talked about being flexible. And I guess with what you're doing, you have to be flexible.
I couldn't write about it without frankly doing it, and I know I have set that up for myself. I actually know that spirit clearly saying, here's the lesson, learn it, come.
Yes, I found it says that lesson 5, flexibility. Mm-hmm. And you say flexibility is power.
Right, from my friend Yoka.
Yes. I think that that Warren has finally been able to log in. Warren, are you here, Warren?
Oh goodness, it just happens to be my call. Hi everybody.
Hi Warren.
How are you, Barry? I'm really excited to hear you, mate. How's things?
Good. Good to hear your voice.
All right, now look, let's just start over.
Fine. Okay.
Now look, I apologize profoundly to everyone listening. I got tied up with a couple of clients that let's just say We were working through some breakthroughs with them, and it went a little longer than we expected.
They should have been on the call. We were talking about flexibility just now.
And thanks to my fabulous cohort on this, which is obviously Melanie Etherton. Thank you so much, Mel, for being my ever present salvation.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
So we were talking about the fact that Barry does this house sitting thing, and how does it? I asked him how does it commingle with him being a coach and all that kind of stuff. So he was explaining that to us. So go ahead, Barry.
Certainly. the thing I'm realizing also this comes up again about status and about comparison. As a man, I know, especially in this culture, we're taught that we achieve success by having a status, having the right car, having the right woman or arm, having the right house. And I've been learning how my skill set is not impacted by where I live, about not having those things. And this house sitting journey is the one that's really, for me, taught me more than anything else that my skill set is who I am, not where I live, literally and figuratively.
Right. And
I found it really interesting that have this freedom in I know that this is fairly present for you with the last 16 months in your house sitting experiences, but not just, I don't know if we've already covered this or not, but talking about it wasn't just in your physical locale, obviously, but obviously in your daily experiences of this freedom that you have in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, it really inspires me to get out of paying a mortgage.
I'm not encouraging that.
I guess this whole experience, makes you not be in a comfort zone.
I'd like to be comfortable independent of my zone, I guess, is the way of putting it.
That's one thing I try to get my clients to understand, is you got to get out of that comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did we? I'm not sure if Melanie covered it with you, but did we get a definition of success from you, Barry?
Yes, we did. I think we did, didn't we?
Yes, we did. But go ahead.
share it with me again. Yeah, for those of us that missed it.
Very well.
Let's bring us forward to the date here.
Yeah, we'll just come back and do the call over. I had already got clear that for me, success, especially from my own experience and from what I've watched with other people, is not based on what we achieve out in the world, by the status we have and the level of whatever that is we have. It's really an internal experience. And I've been finding it as if we live more true to ourselves and we're living in authentic expression, we're expressing ourselves as who we are, that's being successful. Mm. So if I'm coaching one person or 1,000 people, I'm being successful in the journey, not like I have to be, okay, I've got 3,000 clients, then I'm successful. And the truth is, it doesn't have to be that way. It's who we are and what we do that counts.
Yeah, absolutely. So once again, it really comes down to the path, or the trying to stay away from that word journey often. But it's about the journey. It's really not about the destination, is it?
Absolutely.
100%. And look, I mean, I'm so sorry if I'm reiterating things that have already been covered. But look, I really love what you're doing and what you're sort of providing to the greater population as well. I mean, I'm obviously a certified master coach myself, and I actually spent a lot of time with coaching coaches as such, because I think that a lot of us don't live, or a lot of coaches out there don't actually live necessarily congruently with what they teach. And I found that really interesting to think that we could, like looking at what you do, you're really stepping out of the fear in yourself and doing what you have to do.
Yes.
I love that you make that difference.
Well, I said in my bio that for me, what makes it, to me, a really good teacher is somebody who continues to be a student. And anybody who's up learning, like say you coach coaches, that's great, because that means they're becoming better coaches.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it really is all about, I mean, whether it's my own growth, I mean, I'm sure you've experienced the same thing, Barry, that, I tend to gain a lot out of teaching. Like, I tend to grow. I think it was my father that originally said to me, the best way of learning is to teach.
Yeah.
And you're certainly your background in what you've done for all these years, you're, you're indicative of that message as well as being out there and trying to make a difference or contributing to others. It's, I mean, would you tend to agree that a vast amount of your learning came through coaching and teaching yourself?
It did, because for me, a lot of times I've learned something, but when I teach it, or in fact living it like the last 16 months, I tend to embody it much more powerfully. So yes, I become better at what I've learned by teaching what I've then passed on to other people. Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
And you have an interesting take on the word freedom as well, don't you?
Well, I've seen several flavors of it, so yes. Because freedom is something that is really not about... Because some people look at freedom being, okay, we're going to be out there, we're going to make everybody free. It's the inner space we have inside, because some people are trapped in their own limiting beliefs, and that's more secure than any chains could be.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I think it was, wasn't it, what was his name? I can't believe this name eludes me. South African Nelson Mandela. There we go. Yes, goodness me, I'm going to go now. Goodness me.
He's kind of well known, yeah.
But I mean, you know, one of those moments. Live radio, people.
Warren, we'll continue our session after the call, okay?
Thanks, Mel. But look, it's one of those things I think that Nelson said, which was they could imprison him physically, but it was the freedom of his mind that kept him free. I mean, it's a jail's all well and good, but the real prison that most of us exist in. I totally agree with you, Barry. It's that it is the prison of the mind, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, the thing I was writing about in my last blog thing about freedom, I was quoting Viktor Frankl, who I've heard about many times. For those who didn't know, he was a prisoner in Auschwitz during the Second World War. And his book, Man's Search for Meaning, talks about how he found freedom even in the darkest places, because it's not about being outside living on green pastures. It's about who are we with inside ourselves. How do we free ourselves in our mind and our heart? And he was same as Nelson Mandela, a really big demonstration of that by what he believed and taught, and he is.
This brings to mind that saying of, you've got to step outside the box. I don't think you have to step outside the box. And you think you need to get back into the box, into that dark place. Yes. Is that what you're going to say, Warren?
Yeah, no, it's like I know that in your last blog, which I must admit I'm a peruser of your blog on a regular basis, but when you actually mentioned that it's really freedom from the inside out rather than from the outside in, yeah?
Yes. Thanks for reminding
me. I love it. Yeah, no, it's interesting. So do you think this is always self-imposed?
Honestly, yes. I mean, yes, certain things can happen that may be challenging from the outside, but it's the beliefs we lay on top of that that make it harder on the inside. And I'm very clear from my experience that freedom is really about our relationship to the world and how we choose to be relating to the world versus the world doing to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
What kind of process what kind of process do you use to get your coaching clients to understand that it's their choice, they need to make the choice to get back inside the box, basically?
Well, your choice of getting inside the box is interesting. I look at the fact, the way that we are internally, it's a set of beliefs that we carry for various reasons, and I help basically my clients to get clear about what the beliefs they've been running are, because once they know what the beliefs are, they can see if they're true or not, if they line up or not. And so then the worker becomes, if that belief's not true, let's replace it with one that does line up, that's authentic to who they are, versus the one that's been imposed by their parents, their siblings, their spouse, their society, those things that have become those chains they put around themselves. So for me, once people find their true nature by their beliefs about themselves, that shifts everything. And then they become free inside the box they're already in, if you want to put it that way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the other thing I really wanted to ask you. I've been working with a couple of my clients in regard to that. These are people that are quite successful financially. They and I always find this really interesting. But they're quite successful financially. They have a seemingly blissful life, like beautiful partners, amazing children. They're all quite successful. They seem quite happy. They are actually quite happy, I should add. But they yet feel this lack or this something. Now, I know how I approached it, but I'd be interested to see, when we had what your take and Mel as well, that their lives seem both from the inside and the outside. I mean, I've spent time in their beautiful homes, and everything's just wonderful. Great job or great companies they both own. They're quite happy, nice cars, good money, great kids. They've kind of got it all, and yet they feel so unfulfilled.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So how would you have approached that?
So,
Derek?
You or me? Okay, I'll go first.
Yeah, you go
please,
first.
Just checking. often that, for me, is very simply the fact that they've been working so hard on the outside. Again, it's they're not connected to who they are inside. And that's the hardness, because mm-hmm. they're trying to fill the void inside with what's outside. And like Chinese food, it's like you can fill it temporarily, but then after a brief period of time, you get hungry again. And that's the emptiness mm-hmm. that shows up to people, is that they're not being filled from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And it may be a spiritual practice. It may be a sense of just knowing who they are. And it may be the fact they've done so much on the outside to avoid finding out who they are. So it could be a number of different things that can be causing it. But most of the time, it's because they're not being true to themselves and not knowing who they are as a person.
Right.
Yeah.
And Mel?
Well, I'm going to give you an example of something. I have a client that came to me once that, absolutely beautiful woman, very successful. She's a nurse practitioner. She started off, I think it's a school teacher, and her husband died, and so she had to do something to be able to raise her kids by herself and still be successful. And it seemed like every single year, all she was doing was doing more to make herself feel successful. And what I did with her, I've got this mirror technique that I ask them to look in the mirror and you know, tell me what they see. And what she could tell me is that long ago, all that her parents would say to her were things like, you know, you need to wear that dress so that you're as pretty as the other girls, or, you know, your B plus is not enough. You need to make an A. So she has this blueprint in her system already saying that it doesn't matter what she does, she still needs to keep trying because she's never going to be good enough.
Right.
And so I have her go through the mirror technique again, and what ends up happening is then she realized, well, wait a minute, all those things that I'm thinking, that's not true. I am good enough. Look what I've done. I'm beautiful. I'm strong. I've raised these kids on my own. I'm now a nurse practitioner. I managed to, you know, raise kids that are very, you know, contributing members of society. And, you know, until she realized where those negative blocks, I guess you could say, or walls that she put around herself, where they came from, until she did that, she couldn't turn it around. But now that she's recognized them, she can see that, you know, although her parents were doing the best that they could with the tools they got, you know, this is how it's going to be from now on. She's got a whole new set of tools that she can use.
Mm. Yeah,
that's how I see things happening.
Yeah, I know with myself, I and that's why I really love some of the stuff that you do, or a lot of the stuff that you do, Barry and Mel. Of course, you know I adore your work, but I think it's it really is about looking within, you know, and understanding what's. I was going to say important, but I don't think that's the word. It's more what's it about? You know, what's really going to, you know, what turns you on almost?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's that button? Mm-hmm. You know, because it's interesting that most of us are raised to believe that success is something that's financial. You know, certainly mm-hmm. in the Western world, it's, you know, success is measured by the stuff that you got. You know, a wife is secondary almost. It's just about being a handbag. You know, and it's, you know, or the car you drive is about that status symbol. And I know it sounds kind of silly, but I mean, this is how. I mean, certainly in Australia, there's a level of this that, you know, exists, and I know it happens in the States as well. But you know, and of course, a lot of women in the world actually look at, you know, younger girls particularly look at these, you know, seemingly materialistically successful people and sort of assume that, well, that's kind of the target. You know, it's gone are the days of the physically strongest survive, and, you know, we benefit society through a greater gene pool. Now it's about, well, you know, survival isn't about the strongest, it's about the wealthiest. So there's a lot of girls out there that have been pursuant of these successful men and then wonder why their lives are empty. So it's interesting. Go on.
No, just concurring what you're saying, I see that so clearly now that one of our shifts we're having in culture is that there's a new evolution happening in our society, I believe, which is a compassionate society. It's more sense of heart than being driven by the pocketbook.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But I think, look, it's getting to that stage, isn't it? I know that, Mel, you're of the same cloth. But, I mean, I initially got into this business, I guess, or into this line of work because I wanted to spend more time with my family. The question I guess I want to pose is, are we moving slowly, if at all, away from 9 to 5, Monday to 4, actually it's more like, you know, sort of 7 till 7, Monday to Friday, are we shifting our minds away from that and sort of, you know, is it the time we start looking at, you know, job sharing and income splitting and, you know, so it's maybe, you know, 10 till 4 that we're working, and then there's a second shift that kicks in. And you know, we're living in a global economy now, where you know I'm speaking to you guys from, you know, sunny Australia, and there are people right now I know that are listening in, you know, Israel, and so I mean, we live in an economy that's global. So could we not have just 24-hour businesses that that actually are job split?
Seems possible. Right. Yes, we are changing things around this world. There was a very, looking back generationally, coming from England originally, seeing how the Western world has unfolded, much earlier too, where there's been this evolution from the factory work focus, the working in production lines, into a more creative entrepreneurial spirit. It is shifting, definitely. The culture is changing. And the ways of working together is going to evolve exponentially because of the ideas that are coming forward now. So yes, worldwide economy, and the boundaries are going to start dropping between countries, between peoples, between... And you know, with your understanding, we'll have a more of a global understanding that we can work together on all sorts of projects, and that becomes very positive and very, very inspiring.
Well, this is kind of indicative of all of our work, isn't it? Like, isn't this what we're all about? Like, as in, you know, the teachers, you know, I put us all in the one basket, but you know, aren't we really all about fulfillment? You know, ultimately, when you break it right down, are we not all about fulfillment, whether that's through freedom or financial or mental, spiritual, physical, whatever it might be? Ultimately, isn't it all about abundance in all areas?
Isn't that
what we do?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, I take it on board as an obligation, you know, rather than something that, you know, this isn't just what I do. It's kind of who I am. And I know that, Melanie, you're of the same, and Barry, I know that you're of the same cloth as well, that I've tried to get out of this business. I've gone back into sales training training large multinationals and things, and you sort of think, well, that's what I'll do. You know, I could use the $400,000 or the $500,000 paycheck that these guys give me. And so you sort of pack it all up and you go, that's it, I'm out. And just as I get out, I'll get a phone call from a client. And I know you guys have been in the same boat. You get a phone call from a client going, look, I've got sort of a dozen of my friends that really want to know what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you catch up with us for a coffee or a drink? And you sort of go, yeah, all right, I'll do that. And then suddenly you've got an extra 12 clients. and you sort of...
you know, for me, when things like that happens, it makes me feel really, really good, because I know that for all of us, what this is all about is service.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't matter what you do, it's service. Every single job that's out there, every single, you know, anything that anybody does is to serve somebody else. Mm. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. It wouldn't, you know. It just wouldn't be there. So if I can, the more I can help people, the more I am of service. And the more I am of service and I can see them turning around, the better I feel.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with you. Totally. Yeah. So it's that ability, again, to go beyond ourselves, to make a difference on the planet, that service to the world around us.
Yes, absolutely.
So yes, Warren, I think we're in the same boat.
Mind you, I do think I'm a little bit more selfish than you guys.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just a
but
little
you
bit.
See, I don't believe there's any problem with that.
I know, but the reason I think I'm a little more selfish than that is it just I'm sort of being, I guess, a bit more universal for a moment, at risk of sounding spiritual. I see us all as one, and I know, Mel, you know this of me, but I see this all as... Everything that we know as our physical existence, whether it be you, me, us, the tables, the chairs, every single thing is all part of it. It's all the same organism. You know, and so it's all one thing. I just happen to be a cog in that thing. You know, so when I'm of service to others, I actually, in a roundabout way, kind of see it as a service to myself at the same time.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I'd like to think I kind of often profess to be more noble than this, but I guess it's more that, for me, it's kind of that understanding that in helping others and changing or assisting change in global awareness universal awareness, I think that it really, it's about fixing it all. You know, like it's about fixing the one. So if we can all have the same, you know, mindset or same awareness level as you know, some of the great minds that I know that we all work with, wouldn't the world or the universe just be a better place? And wouldn't that make me a better place and or person?
Absolutely. I mean, the thing about that is, which I like, is it's kind of the big secret we keep out there, that when we contribute to this, we're making our world better for ourselves to live in too.
Mm. Right.
See, I'm getting rid of the secret, damn it, all those listeners out there. I shall be shunned amongst my peers.
just the fake ones.
But it really is about, I mean, this is, I really premise, and again, while I value anyone who, I mean, I met a couple of coaches. I did a keynote on Saturday just gone, and I had a couple of coaches, and they're brand new. It was quite funny. They were like, I'm fresh out of the box. I'm a brand new coach. You know, and I sort of said to them, I'm so grateful. You know, like the fact that there are people out there right now at this very second, at this very instant, that are making a decision to make this planet a better place to be and to make our world a better place, a better world. And I mean world, the greater world of the mind and the universe. But, you know, I'm ever thankful. So, I mean, even if it was one of those brand new coaches that were on a call, there's so much they can contribute. And, yeah, I'm so grateful. I'm probably the happiest guy I know because I'm just ever grateful that there are people out there like you, Melanie, and certainly like you, Barry, that are out there going, let's really make a difference.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, it's all about evolution, I believe, because we all evolve, and some of us are evolving at a more rapid pace than others, and it's our job to help the others along.
Absolutely.
Pretty much.
More of it better.
That's right.
Barry, I'm going to be really cheeky because I know that you've got this amazing free report that you want to offer to everyone.
Actually, it wasn't a free short report, it's a free session.
Oh, a free session?
Yes, I'm feeling good.
Even better.
Well, in the States, there's this thing called Thanksgiving, which I'm still adjusting to after all these years being in the country. But I can give thanks. So what I'm offering for anyone on the call who chooses to, if they go to my blog and then join my mailing list from my blog, within the next 48 hours, I'll give them a complimentary coaching session, and we can start figuring out what you want to do for next year, for this year, for what's in the moment. We can work whatever you want to work with.
Can I re-register on you? Can I re-register on your blog?
You certainly can. Well, I'm not stuck on my mailing list just yet, so yes, you can.
Yeah. Look, that's amazing, mate. That's really generous of you.
Well, yes, for me, it's also, it's about me, it gets me out in the world more often to meet more people, but also the more people I can help, the quicker and the better it is. So I'm definitely selfish about that. So again, like you're saying about how selfish this works, like the more people I can help, the better I feel. So yes, I want to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. God, I love selfish, man. I love it.
That's selfish with a big S, not a little S, you know?
this is kind of the key, isn't it? It's sort of selfish knowing, like, come on, give me all the people I can help.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
See, I love that. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, you can use it in your next book for me, Mel.
I might just do that. There is one on the way.
Uh-huh. So, does everyone know where your blog site is, Barry?
I think it's been mentioned, we'll say it again. It's simply my name, which is barryselby.com. So it's BARRY, S as in Sam, EL as in Lion, E as in Baker, Y.com.
Beautiful, barryselby.com. I mean, and I'd like to add that it's always an entertaining read.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I've got to say, I mean, like you, the thing, this is going to come off as a little bit egomaniacal of me, but you write the same way I do.
Ah.
So yeah, I really love your writing style.
Thank you. Well, I'm actually working with a writing coach now because I'm now preparing for a book. And she's definitely talking about how it would get deeper into, like, being my personality in the book. So that when I'm speaking to people, it's that truth. They're not reading a book that sounds like one thing and then I speak from another place. So I'm glad you like what I'm writing because I'm not going to change who I am to write differently.
No, and I can tell you now, I had arguments, and Mel, I know Melanie's in the process of going through these things at the moment with her book, but it's I ended up having six different editors.
Wow.
Because I kept firing them. because my book isn't written, as you'd know, I mean, If I Can, You Can, it wasn't written grammatically correct.
No.
It wasn't written in perfect, it certainly wasn't written in the Queen's English. Yeah, I mean, it was, there are things, I broke a lot of rules with writing. Yes, I'm an English major and I don't have any problems writing, but I broke a lot of rules because I made a deal with myself and I said I wanted to have people hear me when they read the book. And, I know that anyone listening on the call that's been reading the book, you can comfortably hear my candor in the book when you're reading it, and it's how I present on stage, and I know that you write exactly the same way. I can't wait for your book.
Thank you. I wish I get a copy.
I expect it signed, my friend.
There you go, that's right. There's that selfish thing coming out again.
No, because I get clearly to that, like, what you want.
Well, I said this on the last call, if you remember, Mel. I actually said that one of the lessons my father taught me was, if you don't ask, you don't get.
That's right. Exactly right. Yes, I agree with you 100%. So I would like a copy as well.
Good girl.
I can totally manage two copies. Definitely a problem. I'm sure Keith will as well, but he'll get one as well.
Now, guys, as well, Melanie, I know that you know this one, and this is the illustrious moment that I know that Melanie Egerton's been waiting for. At the end of all of our calls, Barry, we've still got a few minutes, but at the end of all of our calls, I like to ask people for, I guess, a final thought that you'd like to share with us, or something that you'd really like to give people, all the people listening, to really make that sort of dramatic difference in their lives. And Melanie, what do we tend to call them?
Nugget. Golden nugget.
Golden nugget. Okay.
But give us Barry Selby and Melanie Egerton's golden nuggets.
Well, the one I'll offer, which actually I'm sort of borrowing from a friend of mine because I'm interpreting what she said, is that for those people in the world who are facing challenges, problems, upsets, whatever the things are, the question we don't ask ourselves is not, why does this keep happening to me? But ask ourselves, what is the gift in this? What can I learn from this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's about as gold as it gets.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. Mel, let's go. Give us one. You've been dying to share a nugget with us. I know you have for weeks. Give me your nugget, Mel.
You just can't say those words to me. Anyways, my golden nugget would be that if everybody, like I said, could step back into the box and figure out that they are strong, beautiful and absolutely brilliant, they can really turn their lives around. So, Warren, that's my golden nugget.
Beautiful.
So, Warren, and what are your golden
nuggets? You've been dying for that, haven't you, Mel? I have two little ones. All right, the first two. Actually, let me rephrase that. The first one is. Yeah, do something you've never done before. A really good place to start is go to www.barryselby.com and get a free session. I mean, that's about as golden a nugget that you can get. I mean, this is a free session from one of the best. This guy's. I can tell you now, Barry's as good as it gets. I'd like to sort of stand up and promote myself here, but the truth is go see Barry. And if he's offering it to you for free, you want to take him up on this. So that's certainly one part of the golden nugget. And the other, I guess, a little cheeky golden nugget is if anyone, and I'm going to get you both to do the same if you wish, but if anyone wants to get in touch with myself at any point, you can, my email, look, or the email address that you're welcome to email me on is Warren, W-A-R-R-E-N, @myabsolutesuccess.com. if anyone wants to reach me. And Mel, I know that you'd probably like to do the same, and I'd like to give you the opportunity to do that.
Oh, absolutely. If anybody would like to reach me, it's Melanie at manifestwithmelanie.com.
And better?
Well, my easy, it's Barry at barryselby.com.
Excellent.
Yeah, like, guys, honestly, like, if I can be really, if I can just premise it, I can't premise it enough that, you know, if you want to have something you've never had before, you've got to do something you've never done before. You know, and it's a matter of stepping into the box and actually, you know, looking from the inside out a little bit and realizing that we are all part of this greater organism, but we're more importantly that there's, you know, by being part of this organism, we have access to the entire organism. So being able to reach people like Barry on, you know, ad hoc, or being able to get onto people like Melanie Etherton, who, for those of you who don't know this woman, get to know her. She's freaking amazing.
Thank you.
Melanie coaches helps coach me along the way as well, and Barry, you've helped me without knowing it along the way. I know many times. But for anyone who's out there, honestly, look into this stuff. And it's free, for goodness sake. Like, Barry's willing to do this for nothing. Yeah, but for now, what I wanted to say that this has been, the half of the call that I've been on has been amazing, and I know that the half before it, I can't wait to hear the download. if you're like me and you want to make sure that you don't miss any of these calls and you'd like to get every call in the series, please just click the Take Action Now button on the seminar page, and obviously we'll send all of the calls that have been done so far, including the half that I missed today, and each call each week after the call is completed. Mel?
Yes, well, next week everybody can join Warren and Keith right here. I will be in Atlanta, so I won't be here. I apologize. And his guests will be comedian Craig Shoemaker, who was well known for his character Love Master, and for his impression of Barney Fife from the Andy Griffith Show. He's fun and very inspiring. And also, we'll have Larry Hochman. Larry Hochman and I are very good friends, who is a well-known speaker, trainer, and motivator. And so you really don't want to miss this one, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing, Mel. It's going to be a great call, and I must admit, whilst I'm ever so disappointed that you won't be there, Mel, I'm extremely excited that I will be for the full hour. And obviously, Barry, I'm really excited. I'm really grateful, mate, that you could join us and at least cover my butt while I was away.
it was my pleasure.
Metaphorically, of course. Thank you so much for being here. And Melanie, look, make sure that you guys all mark your calendars and set your reminders so you can be right here next week. Until then, Mel, I'm going to get you to fire up that music if you can. Can you do that?
Yes, I can.
And everybody have a great week, and remember that if I can, you can. See you next week.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If I can, you can. If I can, you can.